This is a conversation with Jimmy Mesta, co-founder and CTO of Rock Security, who brings deep experience in cybersecurity after a long career in penetration testing and security leadership. Jimmy focuses on using Gen AI to enable real-time protection for cloud workloads. Okay, great, Jimmy. Very nice to meet you. Thank you very much for joining the Humans and AI podcast. I appreciate your time. Jimmy, I've seen that you've been in this security field for over 20 years already. So
yeah, probably that makes me feel really old, but yes, probably approaching 20 years.
God.
Yeah. So first, thanks for having me. I actually have a degree in cybersecurity from a really long time ago, which at the moment was, everyone was asking me like, what job are you going to have after you get a degree? I've never heard of that. You either at that time had to go work for the NSA or some major sort of consulting company. But yeah, it's been a long time and a really fun journey so far.
Great. So this is what I wanted to ask you a little bit about your background. As you said, you studied that. What was the journey for you to, because I saw that you've been, apart from working in some other companies, then you became an investor, advisor, and now you're having your own company called Rad Security. So yeah, if you can summarize a little bit of that process, how was it?
Yeah, it's been really rewarding in general. I think my original interest in cybersecurity when I was 20 or maybe even younger was all about the complexity of solving puzzles and breaking things and understanding how systems break down. And that really led me to application security. That was probably my first focus. So in the early days, AppSec wasn't really a category. There were some sort of appliances you could buy, but like secure coding was really just emerging as a discipline. And I got into offensive security pretty early on. So I was a pen tester breaking into companies and hospitals, healthcare, banking. And then the thrill behind that, I think, was really interesting as a job to sit down and try to exfiltrate the CEO's emails or break camera systems and offices. So I did that for a while and then decided to go to the other side, I guess, the blue team side, and do defensive work. So I ended up leading security teams on deploying telemetry, sensors, building compliance programs. And I got really into like public cloud when it came out. Like the moment containers became a thing, like how we deployed applications and AWS started taking off in the other public clouds, I decided to dive really deep into that. So I spent a few years as an independent trainer, consultant, researcher for cloud native security. All of that being said, that led to eventually starting like a venture-backed startup with Rad Security. And we're over 4 years into that journey. And yeah, here we are today. We've lived, Rad Security has been smack in the middle, like 2 years of non-AI and then Cambrian explosion and 2 years of AI. And we have embraced every crevice of it at our company for engineering, but also in our product. So yeah, that's been the journey so far.
And how was that transition? Because you were talking now about the change that no AI to 100% AI. Mm-hmm. Because for what I understood, security and all the security teams often face three big problems, like too many alerts, no context, and then a lot of manual investigation of this work, what it works, but it's like a human brain. They're like investigating, researching. So how was that transition, like no AI and now AI with security?
Yeah. We're still going through it, honestly. It's not over. I don't think it will be, maybe ever. But the big aha moment for us was RAD as a platform. Our initial thesis was real-time cloud and workload protection. And if you're going to play in that camp, you have big competitors, you have legacy vendors, you have all of these different technologies that are built off of pre-AI tech kind of process. So like you would write detections, maybe you would have an ML model somehow embedded in the system because it's a lot of data. And we had the opportunity as we built these sort of new detection capabilities. I basically was like, I don't want to write signatures. I think the early models that were coming out were already better when given the right data at making informed risk decisions, or indicators of compromise could be surfaced more intelligently. It wasn't perfect because that era was not like as refined as today or as performant, but the idea was like, can we build a security platform only using Gen AI and not go back in time and use the old kind of core signature detection mechanism? So we made that bet. And I think it was a little, some people would say it was a little crazy at the time, but you could see the rumblings of the future that we're not going back to the old way. So since then, we started actually from a customer perspective, catching real threats that I know signatures do not catch, right? And that was an aha moment where you're like, this is not a toy. This is not a little like side hustle. Like, this is how security is going to be done. And we shifted engineering basically overnight and said like, everything we do is going to be AI, like chat automations. You want to create a dashboard. Everything is now at your fingertips, and you don't have to be like, you can create a security program with real data and real AI infrastructure on these fundamentals. And that's where we're at today. And we have a head start, which is good because we've now been doing it for a while, but living through that has meant you can't basically sleep. You have to be understanding what's coming out, all the changes to the models, the new AI architectures, and you actually have to be able to implement them quickly. You can't just pick something that worked 6 months ago and hope that it's going to just be there forever. You have to be constantly evaluating how you do the work on the back end, because this stuff is, you can go stale in like a month, right? Like it's, so that's been fun, but also causes a little bit of anxiety.
100%. So my question is, if AI is coordinating all the tasks and doing all these things that helps other companies to detect these threats, the part of security, because AI makes mistakes. So how do you, mm-hmm. I guess that you have humans in the loop, but how do you ensure that it's like, it makes less mistakes, because it is always mistakes.
Yeah, I think the first premise of that, and we got those questions all the time, we're like, hey, this thing's going to make a mistake with my detection. And it's true, like hallucinations, and there's all sorts of, especially in the earlier models, non-deterministic things that would happen that weren't awesome. So there's a few ways to combat that. The first is framing the problem a little differently too, because yes, AI makes mistakes, but it's almost like a self-driving car, right? Yeah, of course, like we're going to deploy a self-driving car. It's going to make a mistake. It's going to cause an accident. But look at the track record of human drivers. Not awesome. So if you look at even the historical view of doing detection with AI or pre-AI, humans made all sorts of mistakes and oversight, like fatigue, like alert, the noise, the false positives, the false negatives, like those aren't new. That's something we've been dealing with forever. So aiming for perfection with AI is probably not the end goal, because it wasn't the goal before. And then second to that, now the hard work is in building reliable systems that give AI, Gen AI, and these models the ability to check its own work, or to have data access systems that are auditable, or to use multi-model systems or evals that can really increase your opportunity to find the bad thing and kind of ignore the thing that doesn't matter. So it's all about building that infrastructure, and the sort of proprietary pieces are really around like data in and ingestion, and then normalization, and then retrieval needs to be still like solid, right? You can't just hope that you're just like point like ChatGPT at some giant database and say, show me things that are bad. It's not going to work like that. You have to have a different engineering mindsets. All of that leads to still the need for human in a loop, but I want to see evidence now, right? Like, why did the AI say this is a false positive? And the human who is trained up on this, right, is going to still be necessary for some time. I think that'll eventually go away too, which is scary, but that is where we're at today. And it's only getting better month by month. So, yeah.
Okay. You say that humans are going to be less needed in the long run. What do you think that we are going to do then?
I think we're going to shift priorities and perspective for security humans. And we're seeing this with software development, right? Like, it's probably the leading indicator for us of what's happening in software engineering. And we haven't replaced the need for software engineers, right? But we are replacing the mechanics of writing line by line code. Like that's a fact. It's going, if you're sitting writing like a function in an IDE, like that's not going to be how code is written. That's already going away. So security is following suit in that, like, these manual sort of tasks of taking an alert from here and then logging into this system over there and then dumping it into a spreadsheet. And then like you don't need to do that stuff anymore. And you barely need to have the brain power to tie those things together. So what'll end up happening is, yeah, we might have less security. We're already seeing less hiring, but we're going to have a higher order of like process development or business enablement or building like a builder mentality in security that we've been missing for a long time. Like, security teams have been consumers of data and stitching together data, building reports. And now I think we're going to enter an era where security teams can focus on higher order problems, right? And architecture and designing systems with engineers that AI will go deploy, build, and we're all going to be using these tools effectively like all day, every day. And I don't see another way around it anymore.
Great. And now, as you said, more people, there's less hires, but as well, I feel like there are more entrepreneurs, right? Because it's easier to learn to even software, but at the same time, many people, I know some friends that they learn by themselves how to code and then they are building their own apps. So as many more, there's more and more people developing their own apps and their own companies. They're small, but still they're building something. How can we make sure that those apps and those kind of small companies or tools and services remain secure?
Yeah, we just saw, so there's some reports out now of basically Anthropic Claude code, right? No denying that has been the like most insane growth story. Anthropic's doing $19 billion in revenue, and 4% of all GitHub commits, at least roughly, are coming from Claude code. That's not all of them, but that's growing like fast. So that is going to present challenges from security, because we're not just trying to protect the thing that we've built and nurtured. We're like, everyone's creating new stuff that's on the internet every second of every day, because there's 1,000 platforms out there to do that. So securing that ecosystem is going to be the next frontier sort of problem in security. I don't even think we've realized what we've gotten into yet, because every security team we work with, as customers or prospects we talk to, I'm not sure they know how much stuff is being built, how much code is being generated on a day-to-day basis, because no one can sit. We used to be able to read pull requests. Like, that's a novel idea. Like, you would sit and look at the code and be like, I'm going to take a look at this. I'm going to have a linter. I'm going to run this scanner. That's done because code's coming now. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of lines of code all day, every day, because it's just agents building it. And there is no human in the loop that can read that and make an assessment from a security standpoint. So we have a few options. One is embed secure coding, AppSec checks and things of that nature in the SDLC. So that does not mean doing it the old way of injecting checks in CI. It means, how do we train our model to make the right decisions, right? If the old way was like developer training and like all these different guardrails, we have to figure out a new way because the developers aren't writing the code. So we have to tell the model what we expect, how to do it, and our security sort of standards. And then we have to check its work throughout the deployment process. And that's where like what we've built at RAD comes in. If you're going to try to fight AI generated code with a human, you are in a losing battle. So RAD helps you scale your team to be able to watch all the things that are going on, because there's a lot. And I think you have to fight AI with AI to some degree. And then humans have to be constantly watching, correcting, and like working with AI agents to make them better and scale their work, because they're not going to scale themselves. It's a wild thing to watch happen.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot going on. So I feel like in this new era of AI, there's so much noise. How do you keep yourself grounded? Do you follow a person or influencer or someone who is in this kind of security field, an AI that help you to get inspired? Because it's just kind of like you trust, because I feel like there's so many news, so many things, but sometimes it's difficult to say, okay, what is real, what is not.
Oh, yeah. I've never been a big influencer guy. Like, there's select folks that I trust and read and will take their word for it. I tend to personally, I try to like break things down into their building blocks, kind of first principles. So if the problem is keeping up with AI, like for me, I'm not bothered by a lot of the noise that came out on last Tuesday. Who cares? Because most of it's irrelevant, doesn't apply. And if I start down that path, I end up getting high blood pressure. Yeah, like I'm just like, I'm not doing enough. I'm like freaking out. And that, I think a lot of people feel that way right now, because we'll take OpenClaw, for example, right? Like all you do is log into X or LinkedIn or like any of these social platforms, you will think that you are 20 years behind on OpenClaw, right? Like you're like, what? Everybody's out here using this thing, they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars. What is happening? But the reality is there's a lot of surface noise there. There's something real behind it. So what I do is and this is just me, I go into like my bunker, right? And I go for like a weekend or a week and I just tune everything out. And I'm like, okay, what is this project? What is it doing? Because at the end of the day, everything new that comes out is just a collection of stuff that already exists for the most part. And instead of relying on somebody else's clickbait, I sit and I clone repos and I start building on top of this stuff. I deploy it every step and I have different models for different tasks. So like I'll get in there with OpenAI Codex or the Opus model and I'll start dissecting the code base and having a conversation. Like what is this actually doing? What are the security implications here? How can I use this effectively? And I rely on what the thing is with all the research. And then I just have a conversation. I use Whisper Flow. Like I only use speech to text when I prompt. And I just sit and have a conversation literally with a model for like hours until I have a hypothesis on if this is useful or not. And that leaves me out of, because there's so much AI generated slop. Like most of these articles are just nothing, and they are wrong, and they are like an inch deep. So I tend to, if I care about something, OpenClaw, for example, I took 3 full days and I was like, I'm going to deploy this. And I deployed it probably 50 times because I wanted to understand every step, every iteration. And I had AI assist me, and I came up with, I'm like, at the end, I'm like, okay, I get what this does, right? And like why it's important, but also the security problems. And that takes time. Like you can't just summarize something with ChatGPT and hope that you've grokked it. I think you have to dissect these things. And I just use AI to do that with Claude Code, essentially.
Yeah, like I have to say that I use ChatGPT for many things.
Me too, but it depends how deep you want to go. It's really good at, can you summarize this thing? And that's fine. But for me, if you're going to do security, you can't do it that way. You have to, or you just become part of the problem, the surface noise that's out there, I think.
Yeah, definitely. No, like I don't do security things, so I'm more on the other side. Okay. So what's an accepted belief in cybersecurity that you think is completely wrong?
Wrong. Yeah, there's probably a few of those. I think right now, this might be a hot take, but the need to, if you're familiar with the Gartners of the world, this isn't even to throw Gartner under the bus, but like we have these categories in security, right? And they have existed since the beginning of security almost, right? Like you hear these acronyms, CSPM, Cloud Security Posture Management, SIM, you hear, you know, SOAR, you hear all ITDR, like there's an acronym SOUP that is existed for a long time. I think trying to build your security program now, this day and age, around purchasing tools that fit into these pillars is probably not the right way. I personally believe that's not the right way to do security anymore. It was. It works for budgets and it works for a lot of different reasons. But today, that's not how the world works, with Gen AI being the main modality of interaction across the company. So like buying a CSPM, just doing that and hoping that you have covered your cloud entirely, I think you're going to be buying a lot of tools and a lot of them are going to sit there doing nothing. I'm seeing that sort of phase go past us. So I think that's just like flat out not going to work in the next iteration with AI. And could be a hot take. Gartner might get mad at me, but it is what we're seeing out in the world, right? Like people buy things to solve problems, not to satisfy a category. So yeah, that's, I guess, my hot take.
Great. So in your opinion, what's the future for RAD security?
Yeah, the big bold statement would be AGI for your security team, right? I don't want security teams to get behind from their development counterparts, right? Because if we're going to go down this path, and we already are, of like all this code's committed by AI and all the automation, and we're doing like agents that are out in the world doing tasks, we need to reinvent security that is at least at parity or faster than that. So I think for RAD, we want to be the always on, always open AI agent platform for your security operations. And we're already there in a lot of ways. We have a lot of work to do, but that's the vision. And we are excited about that. It is a privilege to get to be involved in this moment in time. I'll say, I think it's bigger than mobile. It could be bigger than what the internet presented. It's moving faster, at least. So we have to be ahead of like the curve on that stuff. And yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
Great. It sounds excited. So Jimmy, we've got one last question. Looking back, what's the biggest lesson you've learned about building security products? with all your journey, you know, you're going to have a lot of experience.
Yeah. Honestly, just don't be afraid to throw the conventions and rules out. Like, they're, every organization I've worked at has been so different. The culture is different. The risk tolerance is different. And if you come in and you're just trying to be some sort of management consultant and say, I have my checklist, it doesn't work like that. But like, you have to be an informed security practitioner that can, like, for me, I think one of my superpowers is like, I've been able to assimilate or like to different functions. Like, I've always embedded myself in like the software engineering team or the infrastructure team or the legal team, even sales, right? Like, the more you can be an enabler for multiple teams and not just this, I'm the security team and like I build things that detect threats and that's all I do. That's one piece, but I don't know. Like, I've had a better career, I think, by trying to understand how businesses work and not just like looking at like logs all day and hoping I find threats. That's cool, but there's a lot more to security than that. And I would recommend everyone now with AI, like, you could ramp up on this stuff. You're not going to be the expert overnight, but like, you got to figure out how businesses make money to secure them. And that's hard.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thank you. I've learned a lot about security today, actually. So I appreciate it. And I hope you have a good time. And thank you for joining me on our podcast.
Thanks, Floor. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human. One story at a time. See you in the next episode.